I'm going to be speaking on having confidence through abiding in Christ. The text is 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. Now, we have been given a remarkable provision from God that we can actually abide in Christ. The actual definition of abide is to stay or live somewhere, to continue or remain. And that's true, but I sense that there's a deeper meaning here. Living in a house or something like that isn't the same as abiding in Christ. This is a lot better than that. Yes, we do stay with him and continue with him, but Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Ephesians 2:6 also says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Amen. We are actually one with him. Here is some evidence that we are in Christ. 1 John 4:13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given of us of his Spirit." This not only tells us that we are in Jesus, but that we have his Spirit, so we can be like him. In the beginning, when God created man, he created them in his image. But whenever we are born again and put into Christ, we are given his Spirit. This is why we can be led of God as we are, and this is why we can have unity with God and with one another. When Jesus was on earth, he had to tell his disciples what to do, and he showed them how to do it, but that was because they didn't have his Spirit. But you definitely know when they did, because they could just start running. They knew what to do. They didn't have to be instructed in every little thing, they just did it. And we can do the same. We don't have to say, let me think. We got to sit down and think, what would Jesus do? And reason it all out. But we have his Spirit, so we are one with Christ. Amen. I've heard it said that when God looks at us, he sees Christ. Because we are in him and he is in us. Now, doesn't that produce confidence in you? Amen. This isn't a limited provision. You don't put your application in to abide in Christ and just hope there's enough room for you left. This is not an optional thing or just an extra thing that you can do it if you want, but it really isn't required. John 15:4 tells us that we are called to abide. It says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." And in verse 6 of that chapter, it tells us what happens if we don't abide. "If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Well, that's pretty serious. And I would say that that's a good reason to abide in Christ. But there are better reasons than that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." This is who we are called to abide in. He has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly when he triumphed over them. Also in John 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." There are some better reasons than just for fear of being cast out. We have wonderful things for us when we abide in Christ. Amen. And that's just a few. Another reason that we have confidence through abiding, which is my topic. And this confidence isn't the same as people sometimes see it. because of the flesh, when people think of confidence, they automatically go along the lines more of cockiness and pride or self-confidence. But that's not what we have. Our confidence is found only in Christ. This that we have now is different than any other because it comes from Christ. We choose to put all confidence in Christ, but because of this mortal man, our capacity to place confidence in God comes short of what we need and what God has provided. When we give all that we have, whatever it is, God will come and undergird it, and it will be sufficient. In Proverbs 3, verse 26, it says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." The Lord himself is our confidence. We put all our confidence in God, but really the reason that we have any is because he is our confidence. Now it's very clear why we have confidence when we abide in him. Amen. It's much better this way because there is so much more confidence when we abide in Christ. We can see this also in Proverbs 14, verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." All of this is set up perfectly. We have all that we need in Jesus Christ. Now, I was thinking about confidence itself, but I began thinking why we really need it. And I'd never really thought that much about the confidence that we have in Christ. But Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Now, if that can be said of us, that we are blown about by every wind of doctrine, we don't have that much confidence and we aren't abiding in Christ. We have to be certain and persuaded of what we believe, or else something will come and make us fall. Confidence is very needful as well. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." When we hold fast to our confidence and stand strong in the things that we have believed, there will be great reward. This is why we need confidence, and we have to abide in Christ to have it and to keep it. Now, something that I noticed in the verses that I read from Proverbs is that confidence is associated with safety. In chapter 3, verse 6, it says that our foot will be kept from being taken, and the other said that we would have a place of refuge. When we have strong confidence, it is like a refuge, and we are safe in it. That's just another way of saying that the Lord is our refuge because he is also our confidence. Amen. I also found something that I really liked in a song that we sing called "The Light of the World is Jesus." Part of one of the verses says, "No darkness have we who in Jesus abide." So I thought, since we have confidence through abiding in Christ and there's no darkness in Christ, confidence can be likened unto light. When we have confidence in what we believe, it sheds light on other false things that would try to make us fall. So this confidence isn't just a nice little thing that we have. It's a necessity. We have to have it. Amen. And the Lord knew that we were going to need it, so he provided it, and I'm very thankful for it. Amen. Now I want to exhort you, as Paul did the Philippians in the beginning of the fourth chapter, to stand fast in the Lord. And also, as Hebrews 3:14 says, "Hold to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end." The Lord has given us a great provision. And as our text says, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming." Now you open up for your comments.
I like to think about how you brought up that confidence isn't—it's not optional or additional or exceptional, but it is essential. And just thinking about through abiding in Christ, salvation is sure, but a failure to have confidence and a failure to abide makes it certain shipwreck.
A large part of growing up in Christ is this thing that you mentioned earlier, where we're not looking to escape as much as we are looking for the good things to do. They're both there. I forget how you said there's a better way, like a more excellent way. And I see that growing up in Christ, I see the appeal and the attraction of the things that He's given. Amen.
When I think of the necessity of confidence is what other people see when they look at Christians. Jesus said that we're always supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man asked of the hope that, or the reason of the hope that's in us. And if we don't have confidence, how are people going to see that? How are people going to notice that there's something different and that we're any different than them if we don't have confidence in what we believe?
The devil, as the accuser of the brethren, he doesn't have to lie to me about something that I committed. He can just remind me of something, because mm-hmm. I did. We really did sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so he doesn't have to manufacture something to accuse me of. So the need for my confidence then is that the Lord really did take it away. You see, the internal need for that is that it's to be able to just say, yes, but, that there's something you're missing there.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I appreciate that you're talking about being one with Christ. We have confidence because abiding in Him means we have this identification with Him.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ. We have the spirit of Christ dwelling in us. We're united with Him.
Amen.
Joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so the confidence comes with our association and identification with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So abiding has this, it's a present condition of your body now, but it has a forward look. So like your text says, that abide in Him, that, or so that,
yeah.
So like you're abiding now.
Mm-hmm. You said that abiding in Christ is better than just living in the house. I never thought about it just like that, but this is abiding is a very personal thing. It's not something you can live in a house with another person and yet be at loggerheads with them, I suppose, but in this matter of abiding, one mind, one heart, one spirit.
Thank you, brethren.